Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the NerdWatch Podcast. I, of course, am G Money. I'm so glad to be with you here on this lovely Tuesday evening. Excuse me while I turn off the humidifier. Ah, there it is. Much better. Anyway, now you can hear me. Anyway, so glad you guys could join us for tonight's program. We, of course, are the NerdWatch. And every time you do that, I can hear it on the damn mic. You're such a freak. For some reason, BB-8 is here, even though this is about Spider-Man. Supremely strange. It's completely fine, though. Yeah, that's it. Running into all the studio equipment. That's it. Yeah. Good job, Gannon.
Ned and Peter built a Death Star.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's Lego Disney product placement for you right there.
Absolutely right. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Facebook, Akaku, YouTube, so glad you guys could be with us. And podcast audience that is listening as well. Of course, tonight it is Spider-Man in review, Spider-Man Homecoming in review. Will you shut that droid up?
He'll shut when he wants to shut up.
I'm sure he will.
Right now, it's all about him.
Joining us tonight, to my right, we did a little bit of musical chairs this evening. And joining us this evening, not only is she get an opportunity to geek out in her profession, she's also she has a PhD in nerddom. So, ladies and gentlemen, Cynthia is in the house tonight as well.
Hi guys. She's in the house.
When is your next superstar adventure?
I will be at San Diego Comic-Con next week.
Shut
your pie hole.
Really?
Yes.
And
any fun names to drop?
Yeah.
The only one that I know for sure that I'm working with is Rose MacGyver from iZombie.
Nice. Wouldn't the correct question be, who are you doing?
That is industry jargon.
Is that industry jargon?
Yes.
I knew it. Shut up. Anyway.
Stop it.
That stupid droid. Also, joining us tonight as well is the punk rock superstar, horror aficionado, and apparently the droid gets super noisy when he talks about his master. Ladies and gentlemen, Gannon is in the house tonight as well.
Yay, Gannon!
Woohoo! So excited that you're here.
Are we really going to applaud after everybody?
Yeah. And then, of course...
Hey, you told me to bring them.
Yeah, you're right. I completely did. I totally...
I can show you the message where you said bring them.
Do you have a screenshot? You guys are jerks.
We like to stack evidence against you.
Also joining us tonight is the gaming guru himself, the man who we like to call Format, that's with a PH.
Yay!
He's in the house as well.
He's pretty
PH.
Hot and
Also joining us this evening is the man we call the comic book artist extraordinaire, the man who apparently absolutely is in love with Marvel and could not wait to attend the Spider-Man Homecoming premiere.
Ladies and gentlemen, so good!
The author, standing ovation.
It was awesome.
It is the one and only Todd Bernardi in the house.
I saw him tear up when the credits came up.
Yeah.
I just sad that Captain America was.
And last but certainly not least, the chairman of the comic book board. Is the guy who owns 333 Dairy Road in Kahului. Not the whole street, just Maui Mall. Just the Maui Comics.
Just Maui Mall.
He owns the Maui Mall.
He is the owner proprietor of Maui Comics and Collectibles. If BB-8 pulls that cord, this show is over.
Well, as you know, he is a droid, so he can fix it.
Yeah, I'm sure he could.
I saw him do it in Force Awakens.
He's just trying to... plug in.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Alika from My Comics and Collectibles in the house.
Yay!
Yes. And tonight, it is Spider-Man in review. Hey, hold on and save your comic book list. We're going to do it for the second show.
Sure.
Don't worry. We're going to do it for the second show. That way you get a little more time. But I do want to thank you guys for joining us. You guys can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/NerdWatch. Follow us on Twitter at NerdWatchNation. Follow us on Instagram at the_NerdWatch. And then, of course, you guys can follow us on YouTube at NerdWatchNation as well. And by the way, just in case you didn't know, Siri is following the Nerd Watch on Twitter, which is...
What's her real name?
Her name is Joan Bennett, I think it's her
How'd that
name.
Happen? What is Was it? It like an accidental
Susan.
Thing? Like
Susan Bennett.
Like when I accidentally like a post, is that how that happened?
Yeah, I think it is. apparently I said Siri, this thing goes nuts. Anyway.
I vote him in as a permanent
BB-8
cast member.
BB-8 does not believe your story.
Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't. By the way, before I forget, also joining us tonight, he's in the Peanut Gallery, but we're joining us for the second show, the horror aficionado number two on this show. Ladies and gentlemen, Isaac is also in the house tonight as well.
Yeah,
he's here as well.
Who does number two work for?
He works for the Nerd.
That's right. You show that poo-poo's boss.
Well, here's the thing. It is his birthday, and I figure we might as well save it for the next show.
Nobody's going to watch.
Yeah, we can embarrass him. Everybody's going to.
Sure, why not?
The next show is going to happen on New Comic Book Wednesday.
We're going to keep this show down to about 55 minutes for tonight, okay?
We're already done about 35 minutes.
We're already at 6 minutes, so here we go.
Hello!
All right, we are just 5 short days from the Spider-Man Homecoming premiere. Thank you all for coming out, by the way. It was a tremendously fun
event. They came just for us.
All of you guys.
Well, they did.
For coming out.
They did.
And Spider-Man.
We brought Spider-Man with us to the premiere, which was amazing. You guys should check out the pictures on our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch.
I have an awkward picture of him and my nephew with his pants down.
What?
And that's
what?
Not even
that,
a joke.
Did that happen?
Yeah, that really happened.
Gannon, please.
Are you serious?
I really have this picture, yes.
Oh my gosh, please don't show
it. It's not as scandalous as it sounds, but yes.
Okay.
He was taking. He had the suit on underneath his.
Yeah.
Nephew, wait, who had the pants?
I guess I left out a part of the story.
Yeah,
he had the full Spider-Man suit on, but the pants he wore over the suit was down. So.
It was still somewhat awkward, kind of. So he was in mid-undress, is what you're saying?
No, because he had his full suit on, so it's hard to say he was undressed.
He was.
But
he
the
was,
pants you wore over.
What's
his
your
suit
take
was
on
down.
This, BB-8?
Lovely.
He's mid suiting up.
All right. Well, listen. Also joining us tonight, and he's sitting in the background. I totally forgot he's even here because he's silent.
Of course you did.
Silent Sean is in the house tonight as well.
You said hello.
Hey, he's here.
He loves you, Sean.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, I don't know.
I'm so happy he's on the panel.
You know what? Jimmy J, Amazing Con organizer, is going to be at San Diego Comic Con. J Company Comics booth, so go check them out.
I will check you out.
Yeah.
We will high five and give shakas to each other.
Jimmy J, the man who's putting together the amazing Hawaii Comic Con that's going to be happening in Oahu next month, the 27th.
Just announced another
29th.
Guest, very timely, David Michelinie, creator of Venom, which is going to be one of the next Spider-Verse movies, apparently.
Ooh, nice. Fantastic. He's got quite a lineup for amazing Hawaii Comic Con.
We get to put him on the panel and ask him how he feels about Spider-Man 3. I'm sure he's got lots of great
awesome.
Things to say about it.
I wonder if they consulted him.
Probably.
No way.
You should just make it look like the Spider-Man suit, but paint it black.
I don't think even Ditko was getting any credit for Spider-Man back then.
Mike Ditka?
Mike Ditka.
Exactly.
The Ditka. Bears.
The Bears.
The Bears.
The Bulls.
Yeah. Anyway... ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the main course of the show, which is our review of Spider-Man Homecoming. Everybody on this panel tonight has seen the film. Yes.
Oh.
Except for Silent Sean.
Sean is silent.
So let's get right into it. I think tonight we should start with
Todd.
No.
No, we're not going to.
No, we no. don't.
We talk, start with
Why
you.
Why don't we start with Todd, and then we can all just argue
with
the rest of the show.
All right.
No, I don't want to go first.
Yes,
I don't want to
exactly.
go first.
I want Todd to go first.
I don't want to go first at
Do
all.
It. Do it, Todd.
Okay.
Go with Todd first so that I can figure out how to attack his opinion.
Love, Todd.
All right. Go ahead.
Don't worry, you can't turn them off.
I know.
Don't bother.
You turn the damn thing off.
I don't really want to go first.
Do you not want to go first? Okay, fine. I will go then, I guess, and I will move along the panel.
Sweet.
All right.
Just so that you can circle back and change your opinion. Depending on what we've decided.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
That's the best part about going last.
It was good.
Okay, and what I thought was...
No, Spider-Man Homecoming was a film I was not... I'm sure you do, Peanut Gallery. But Spider-Man Homecoming was a... Todd, don't worry. Spider-Man Homecoming is the brand new film starring Tom Holland as Peter Parker and the one and only...
With Tony Jaa, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, yeah. And the one and only Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark, which was amazing. I will say there are a couple of things that I loved. There was a couple of things that I didn't like. So let me go with the positives first, because I always want to start with the good. I thought that the film overall was a very, very fun and exciting film. It was not what I was expecting. I thought that Tom Holland's performance was incredibly impressive with, I would assume, the small amount of time he had to get into character, and because he's, you know, this is his second foray as Spider-Man, but this is his first full movie.
Like a difficult jump, though. I mean, he's been an awkward teen before.
Yeah, I guess that's true, but I mean, you can say that.
But he's also British,
right?
So he doesn't. I don't know if he's really dialed into how American teens are.
Yeah, so,
they did have to send him to school here in order to see how American teens are.
Right, because he was scandalous and he was undercover, and then all of a sudden.
I love how you're using that word now, because I do.
Because you do. I love it. I totally use it now.
I stole it from Prince, by the way. And,
yeah.
Hello. Best soundtrack ever.
Who doesn't steal words from Prince? I thought Tom Holland did a great job. I was surprised that Robert Downey Jr.'s character, Tony Stark, was in it as little as he was. I thought he'd be in there more. And I thought that was actually a good thing. He was in there as Tony Stark. He was in there as Iron Man, what, once? No, twice. Twice. He was in the movie twice. By the way,
he was in that. He had three scenes.
Full spoilers on this show. Full spoilers. So be warned if you have not seen the film.
I can't believe that
movie.
Oh man, can't believe.
How dare you? How dare you give that away?
I will say
Tony Stark kills Uncle Ben.
I will say. It was some Stark Industries mishap.
And he was played by Bruce Campbell.
Yeah,
it was very weird,
very
out of
strange.
Nowhere.
Yeah.
I will say the Michael Keaton performance was spot on. I thought in the first 3 minutes of that film, they did a lot of establishing of his character and motivations for his character, and that was great. Did a very good job. Michael Keaton just was amazing as Tombs. I thought he was fantastic. Although I will say this, they never really say that he is. He's never given the moniker of the Vulture. They really not
yeah,
really
calls him
no
a
no no but I mean but well, yeah 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 I know
as
but,
close as you'll get in a comic
but how many times
movie,
do we hear
beat
the,
around that bush.
How many times do we hear the word Shocker was like the shocker there.
But it was also played as a joke.
I guess you're right on that, but I that was the one thing I thought was interesting,
because in 2017 the word Shocker means something completely different than it used to.
It's,
back when he came
is
around
it, is it like this is it
stop it.
What? I thought it was this, like where you go like that.
Jesus Christ.
Is that what it was?
I don't want to sit next again.
Is that what that was? I think it's that, isn't it?
No.
Isn't that?
Both of you need to go away. Well, no, I usually go, and then.
Isn't that how, Spider-Man?
Is that new ways to
isn't
shoot?
That,
we're all adults here, right? I mean.
She said, "So he shoots the webs, right?"
West Side and all that.
Oh man!
I
think we lost a viewer.
Good
for life.
Oh good. My gosh! Oh, I will say this, getting
because
back
to- they want to go do it right now.
they meant to go find someone.
They're
to
like,
do
you
that.
Know what? I think I like that.
They had to leap so they could look up Pornhub.
Getting back to the movie.
Oh wait, there's a movie.
Yeah, Spider-Man: Homecoming.
Right.
I really thought that it worked. That they gave him the suit in the beginning, and that it got taken away from him, and it worked.
I'm
back.
Really surprised how many fans are okay with that.
I thought it was okay. Now I will get into a few of the things. I thought the story overall worked very well. I thought Tom Holland did a great job with.
By the way, not the director of Fright Night.
Right.
Or Child's Play.
Right, right.
Yeah, or Child's Play.
Right, right.
Totally different guy.
Totally, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Although he would have been a good Spider-Man.
He would have. He's got the right build.
Okay.
Not the right age, but he's got the right build.
Yeah, you guys are total nerds. I get that. All right.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Now. Only now.
You guys are total nerds.
Yeah, yeah, because we pulled an obscure director that nobody would know the name off the top of their heads.
No, they wouldn't.
Okay,
not
fair enough.
That actually does
you guys did,
yeah,
so
exactly.
Technically.
Well, I'm just surprised that this is where the line was.
This is where the line is. But what I thought was interesting is that the way they played I really enjoyed the opening sequence with how he was filming for posterity, the fight in Civil War, how they led up to that. And then
the whole film should have been like that.
That
was final footage movie.
That would have been kind of
totally
fun.
Kidding.
That could have been kind of fun.
I
will say that
like
I
him just webbing the camera up to a wall,
just recording it.
Multiple cameras, even, you know.
I didn't even think about it until the article came out after the movie. But I guess Marvel did screw up the timeline as far as that goes. I guess
when they said 8 years or whatever.
Yeah.
But nobody's really like.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. But it did make sense when they said they screwed up the timeline, and I get that.
I didn't catch it
fine.
Until somebody said something.
Exactly.
Later.
That's what I didn't get it until somebody
8 years
said
later.
It.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
8 years. So that so this movie happens in the future.
The technically the movie is essentially it's supposedly 2020, and that technically takes place after Infinity War. That's what they're saying. It's we'll talk about that later.
How does it take place after Infinity War? Because the first scene of the movie is supposed to be in 2012. After
2012, right after the Avengers.
Right after.
And then there's a card that says 8 years later.
Right.
And
that's 2020.
Spider-Man Homecoming takes place.
Right.
Which sets it in 2020.
Which sets it right in 2020. So it's a totally timeline.
But do they say Avengers happened in 2012?
No, that's the thing.
Is it commonly known that it happened exactly at 2012?
But here's the thing is that we also know that what happened in Guardians of the Galaxy took place in 2014, 2 years
but
after.
But that's also all the way out in space, so...
I understand. I mean...
Battle of New York all the time, but I never hear Battle of 2012.
Yeah.
Right, and well, like I said, that's but they say that the Infinity War. They were in the article was interesting. They said that in 2020, the Infinity War has already happened in the Marvel timeline.
Yeah. The clickbait article.
Yeah. No.
The fake news article.
But it makes sense.
It's CNN, so I don't.
Right.
Who knows?
Right.
Somebody body slammed that news.
They took time out of Trump coverage to cover the Marvel timeline.
They did.
Totally makes sense.
Well, you know, it was a slow tweet day.
Yeah,
in the Marvel universe, Norman Osborn's president, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, nice. Well, listen, I will say that the one thing, there are a few things that I didn't like about the film. Number one, I thought that I didn't like the fact that Peter Parker was downplayed as far as his, I guess, in his genius. We never get to really see it. I would really thought it would have been kind of cool to have seen...
You don't
seen
think the fact that he built goggles
that, like, frame out his eyes and close up his
or
senses.
The fact that he created web
fluid? Created the web fluid and the shooters.
He's 15.
Cool.
Come on.
No, but I think what would have been really nice is if Tony and him got together to make something like he and Bruce do.
I feel like he was listening to you and stealing your ideas right now. That's exactly what you just said.
When
you were listening to him, weren't you?
When did you say that?
I said that
right outside.
I
didn't hear that. I was talking to Isaac. I didn't hear any of that. Anyway, I would have liked to have seen that.
I suspect he was listening.
I didn't. No, I didn't.
That's like word for word what he said.
I did not know that.
I wish they built things together.
I wish they kissed. Yeah. That's what Sean said.
Oh, nice. I didn't like the...
Tony Stark's got a thing for 15-year-old boys.
That was a great article.
Yeah. Like Bruce Wayne.
Wow.
The Onion video.
Yeah,
that was so good.
I didn't see that. I did not see that.
No, he treats the whole thing like Peter Parker is just this 15-year-old Lolita that's taking advantage.
That was the movie that he saw. He was just the Lolita character.
Sean, that's definitely inappropriate for sure.
It was great.
I don't think it was inappropriate.
Yeah, I'm sure you didn't.
I felt like it was right on the money.
Now that I saw that article, read that review or listened to that review. I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
He likes the movie a lot.
I want to.
He wants to see it over. And
I have to see it over and over again.
He's addicted to Peter Parker the Lolita.
One of the things that I criticized it out of the movie when I got out of the movie was the fact that I didn't think that a bunch of scrappers that Michael Keaton's character was in the film and his crew
had a lot of people. He had extra work.
Well, I didn't think they'd be able to.
He hired a bunch of extra trucks.
Within 8 years,
he bought those trucks.
Be able to harness the power of the alien orb or the alien rock.
They had 8 years to figure it out.
That's classist, man. That's classist.
You jam it in something that's shaped like a gun, it's going to act like a gun.
And it works like a gun.
Okay.
You jam it in something that looks like
before you
wings,
attack
it's going to work like wings. That's how alien tech works.
Before you attack me, I will say that you guys.
I've been waiting this whole show to attack
when we find out.
That's why I didn't want to go first.
I thought we swayed him that night.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no,
you're
you
still
did.
Hung up on
and
it.
Was,
but
no, no, no.
Again, they had 8 years
that's,
to play around
with.
But
that's the thing is that when I found out that they weren't just
did you
scrappers.
See, they were using Ultron arms as guns.
They,
get over it.
Well, like I said, well, let me finish what I was saying.
No,
was,
but we already assessed that you're wrong, right. So you don't need to.
Will you guys shut up?
Let me explain why I'm wrong.
Let him finish being wrong.
When you guys explained to me that they were engineers, it made a lot more sense to me, and that actually does make
you
sense.
So you brought it up even though...
I said that.
I did, yes. Format did bring that up. I thought that that was very interesting. I will say that...
The guy that was building all the tech was the Tinkerer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tinkerer.
Yeah.
Which I didn't catch that till I saw an article about it
neither
later.
Neither did I.
Yeah.
I missed that.
And the Tinkerer is like a skinny, bald old dude.
That's fine.
Well, he didn't lose his hair yet. You guys play with that like alien technology for a while first.
Man. Sometimes right. When I drink too much beer, I got to go tinker.
I think you're doing it wrong.
I think Swan was right.
Because I usually tinkle, not tinker.
Come on, that was puntastic.
Overall,
you guys don't like puns?
No.
Puns are bad enough.
Focus, Todd.
Bad puns.
Not too punny, sorry.
Yeah. Overall, though, I thought that I thought that Spider-Man Homecoming worked. I thought it worked on an emotional level too. I thought it worked more on an emotional level than say the ones with Tobey Maguire did. I thought that his relationship.
How dare you! But all he did was cry in those movies.
Yeah, it's true.
That's how you knew it was emotional.
Yeah, he takes his mask off and cries at the end of every one of those movies.
I will say that they did do exactly what what I had posted in our Nerdwatch podcast page. I did
be quiet, disembodied voice.
I will say that I thought it was interesting that with every emotional scene, there seemed to be a joke right after, and I had noticed that. Quite a bit. There's some real emotional builds, and but all of a sudden
you just admitted that you didn't notice that until somebody else said it. Though
I didn't notice that,
which means the movie plays either way,
and that it was an
somebody
observation.
Else said it, so it's true.
And an observation that was a very interesting how it worked in there. You know, like the one where he meets Happy in the bathroom. That
you might want to add a little bit more to that.
Clarify.
No clarification is necessary. It's completely fine. But ultimately, because I'd like to get to your guys' opinion, I thought it was a very fun movie. I enjoyed it. I think it's actually a much better movie than I was expecting. And I thought that Tom Holland did great. I thought the Easter eggs were a lot of fun, and I think that Tom Holland's going to be a good Spider-Man. So overall, I really enjoyed it. It's what they call risk aversion cinema. So yeah. Anyway,
just cribbing everything you got to say about it.
You
had to say.
Yeah, I'm just.
I think you should thank G for saying that because that's everybody else's review who wants to sound smart about Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
How about it's not a movie that you need to sound smart around?
Exactly.
I can just enjoy it.
G, I appreciate you going first.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Should you go second?
Yeah, Todd. Now.
No.
Jeez, come on.
Well, now you know what parts of the review work.
Yeah. There you go. All right, Todd, come on. Yeah, a few minutes. I'll stop you when I need to.
No, she's dude, I thought you were going to go around.
This is all I got. I liked it.
Now you. All right, Todd. You have the floor. Just you have about maybe 7 minutes.
I liked
five.
I liked it too.
What?
Touché.
Wow.
Let's hear more. What did you like about it, Todd?
On record.
Wow, that is now on record.
This is a solid 2.5-star movie for me.
Two and a half out of three.
There it is.
Two and a half out of five.
Okay.
And but I liked it. I mean, I thought that it's good superhero movie.
Surprisingly, I was sitting next to you, and you had more emotional response to the movie than I thought. You were laughing, you were enjoying it.
No, I thought Guardians of the Galaxy was hilarious too, and I thought that Spider-Man is sort of keeping with that whole Marvel theme of being funny. I mean, they're always really funny, but you got Tony Stark who's always improvising, Robert Downey Jr., and he's always funny and he's always entertaining to watch.
Yeah,
and I think that. A lot of the critical things that have been said about this movie are accurate, and I think that they're true. I think that the fact that people are starting to sort of point it out with this movie, they're realizing it a little late.
Mm-hmm.
But this totally follows the same formula movie thing. You know, Ned picks up the web shooter and saves Peter Parker, like. always happens in every $100 million movie at the end, where the hero gets saved by the friend or whatever. You know, I mean, like, there's.
Did you like him, by the way,
Ned?
Yeah.
You know, I have to, I can't say that I disliked him. I mean, he likes to watch porn in the library, so.
Jeez.
The guy in the chair.
Yeah, he's the guy in the chair with the, watching porn in the library.
I think he was very uneventful in the film myself.
I mean, he had a.
I hate to bring it to you, but you are Ned.
I know. I'm We're very uneventful.
One of our friends, Pat Munoz, is Ned.
So the three things that I liked about it the most were the rubble scene from where Spider-Man gets
Isn't that strange? You mean where Vulture brings down
the building? And
isn't that actually from the panels of a comic?
Yeah, Ditko. Steve Ditko did that in Amazing Spider-Man 33, and then there's just been a whole history of homages to that scene. But most people, when they talk about the power of sequential art, is that they point to that page. So it's a really fantastic page.
I thought you were going to say Sequential
Orcha. And actually, that's one of the few problems.
Sequential Orcha? You thought he was going to say that?
When they were doing that scene, you could tell that that's what they were going to do, especially if you knew the comics and Spider-Man and everything, because he's under the rubble. He's in the same exact spot in the comics.
And it worked. And it worked on an emotional level. I thought that was very well done.
But... this is where, like, I'm like, does a director know how to direct a movie? Because, like, the shot where he lifts up and everything just looks so fake. And it, like, the beginning part of it was awesome. And you're like, oh, man, I hope he really makes it. And you're, like, locked in. And then the end, he's like, da, 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 and, like, it doesn't even look
I don't
like,
know if I took that.
Yeah,
I didn't like that.
I didn't feel that at all.
It's interesting that you say that, because what I was focused on wasn't the scene. I was focused on Tom Holland's performance in that state.
No, the beginning of, he had an awesome performance. Like, you're like, oh, man, he feels hopeless here. Oh, he's turning it around.
When he's yelling out for help, I'm thinking to myself, as an audience member, I'm like, Spider-Man.
That part was good. Yeah. But I'm saying, as soon as he gets it over his head and he's, like, standing, like... First of all, the way, like, the physics of the blocks, the way they were sitting on his hand, didn't look right. Like, they would have tipped to the sides the way he had him held.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't, like, it was hard to suspend disbelief in that moment.
He sticks to walls.
Yeah, but with his index finger holding, I'm an engineer, so I'm thinking the beam is cantilevered over here.
But if you accept that he sticks to walls, you can't accept that he can balance the thing?
Especially since he had such a hard time getting it off of him. Now he's like...
But I'm saying, if you can accept a man that can stick to walls...
Because the physics of the world matter. I accept that he sticks to walls. He's Spider-Man, of course.
Right, right.
But when you're holding a giant piece of a building and it's not unbalanced at all, or it just kind of takes you out of the moment.
Weren't you just the one that said that you don't want to get bogged down with that sort of thing? You just want to enjoy the
moment
for what it is.
That's bogging down. That's like holding a cardboard box telling someone it weighs a ton, but then juggling it.
Well, maybe it's because you're an engineer, because me and G are watching it. We didn't get that feeling at all.
That's what I saw in that scene.
It's different than the way that Ditko draws it.
And the way they framed it was not the same.
Literal comic book adaptation.
Well, right, but I mean, there's so many homages.
But the way they framed the beginning, they even went through the trouble of putting a puddle of water in front of them in a basement where it was completely dry.
Yeah.
They framed that to set up to be a perfect...
Well, everything fell on top of them, too. There's a pipe somewhere in there, I'm sure.
Yeah, but exactly. But they were framing it to look like that scene. And so to waste it on the very last shot seemed... It took me out of that moment.
In all of the last panels of that comic book page, you always see the full weight on top of Peter still. Like, I mean, he barely gets to his knees before he gets out.
He's got it on his back,
something.
Like holding it like Atlas, like this. He's not like, I did it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you notice the arrogance of the engineer. Oh, we can take care of alien tech in 8 years, but the Spider-Man wall thing?
I'm trying to figure out where...
I mean, that's alien tech. It's a glowing orb. You slam it in a gun-shaped thing, it's a gun.
And we don't want to... That's what reviews are for, like, so you can sound smart about things that, that you don't need to sound smart about.
The other two things I liked about it were...
I really liked the reveal.
Now we find out
he's Spider-Man.
Yeah. And then
So Peter Parker is Spider-Man?
Yeah, yeah. No, but I like that scene, because I think that, like, it was really great to see something where you had two foes come together and sort of fight, but there was no fighting. You know, there was no there It was I think it was really climactic.
It was all in the eyes.
I'm going to tell you something.
Oh yeah, I love
that is
no,
one.
But even before then,
I don't think we should spoil. I don't think that's the one spoiler we should not spoil on this show because it was so good.
Michael Keaton's the Vulture, folks.
Yeah, yeah, he is the Vulture. But that that reveal is so good and it worked on such a great level. Yeah,
I kind of feel like they know already by now.
About so okay.
It was, although I tell you what, it worked. And Michael Keaton is so good that, I mean, he's sitting in a car and he's acting with a rear view mirror,
yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, you know? A lot of them act with tennis balls. So I
don't know what, it was amazing. It just, it was really good. Michael Keaton is such a great actor, and he did such a good job in this movie. And
I don't know, he's better at Beetlejuice.
What was the last thing you said? There were two. What was the other one, Todd?
I don't know. I mean, I probably forgot.
You did? Mm-hmm. But overall, it wasn't that good, though. It was a solid 2.5-star movie for you.
Yeah.
Out of 3.
Here, yeah. Ultimately, was it better than Wonder Woman?
Yeah. I mean, no.
No?
No, I mean, because, the thing that I didn't like about it was that there wasn't a lot of, like, great character moments, and Wonder Woman had great character moments. Mm-hmm. Like, I just didn't think that, I thought for Spider-Man, you need to see a little bit more motivation with the character, and you didn't see that. They didn't even mention Uncle Ben in this movie. I mean, like, if you didn't know Spider-Man, Uncle Ben doesn't even exist in this. If this is the first Spider-Man movie you've ever seen, they only reference the fact that, like, May's
but
going
for
through
the
something.
The other 99% of the people in the audience who did know Spider-Man, it was a relief not to have to watch it.
Yeah, I was excited that they didn't do that again.
And I know that they were trying to stay away from the things that were happening in the other movies. Like, I mean, that's why Spider-Man tries to swing through a golf course instead of Manhattan. You know, he has to chase people in down streets with only one story and two story
houses. I actually love that because it's one of those things that when you're a fan, you always like, what would he do if he was here?
Is there like a helicopter just following him around that he shoots webs onto?
Yeah. I actually like that stuff.
Too bad a bunch of crane operators weren't available that evening.
Yeah, I know exactly. Amazing Spider-Man. But
the stuff I liked about that is that it grounded him.
I really,
for being a guy that can sit to walls and swing, it actually brought.
He's actually got to run through.
It showed that even he's going to have limitations.
I realize, and that's one thing I forgot to mention in my review is that I really, and I said this at the end of the film. I told Todd this. I said what I liked about Spider-Man and what I liked about this Spider-Man is that everything was hard for him. It was difficult. There weren't. He wasn't.
Even when he had the suit, it wasn't easy for him.
Right. Exactly. And so it didn't work.
The suit at times made it even more.
He was. It made it difficult for him to be the hero that he wanted to be. But I loved his enthusiasm. Like
he felt like he was ready for it.
Right. He felt like he was ready for it. But even though he wasn't ready for it, even though we know that he's not ready for it, we see that he's not ready for it. But he and I like that. I really enjoyed the frustration of him trying to be all that he could be, and I thought that was very. It was very noble. It was a very noble cause, and it is a teen movie. He feels like adults aren't listening to him, and they don't get it, and they're not understanding. And I thought that was good
classic
too.
Classic teenager stuff.
Classic teenager stuff. This is a John Hughes movie wrapped in a superhero package. This is what it's exact. I think that's exactly kind of what it is.
That's I don't know how they advertised it when they were first.
Yeah, I mean,
filming right.
Kind of sort, I guess.
They did a lot of like staff pictures where they're posing like the Breakfast Club. And
really? Yeah. I missed those. Jeez, I didn't even see those at all. But, lady.
Sir.
What did you think of the film?
I thought it was great.
Yeah, she said two words. It's
that's
good.
Yeah. Scott, I like that. Next. What do you think, Gannon?
That was definitely, that's what's called a movie.
No, what, did you enjoy it? This is your, technically, this is your first foray as a Nerdwatch member, is it not?
She was disappointed.
I enjoyed it. I really did. I didn't go into it with very high expectations. I usually don't with these popcorn movies, you know, like I didn't know what to expect, but I was like belly laughing from the beginning. Like I thought it was funny and it was engaging and I just really enjoyed it. Like it had me from the beginning to the end. I thought it was really great. And I did get Ally Sheedy vibes from MJ, so yeah, definitely Breakfast Club.
Hey, do she not call her that on this show.
She said it.
Oh, gosh, that was terrible.
Nails on a chalkboard.
Oh, wow. She's MJ. Get over it.
I don't see what the problem is.
I'm glad it's her. It's just It was a bad way to reveal it.
Yeah.
It was like a Fox.
It was Robin in Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
Robin.
You figure
what
Marvel
a great
would know
name.
Better.
I got no problems spoiling that because it's terrible.
It is. It's horrendous. Stupid.
We're allowed to spoil all of it.
It's the worst.
That I will spoil because I could care less.
I just don't want to spoil the big reveal. That's not. I don't want to do that.
I like Zendaya, and I think she'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
But
she
should have
been
all like
the character.
They,
she really should have been.
She is, technically.
No, but
she's
Kevin
Michelle Jones.
No, but Kevin
not
Feige.
Mary Jane.
No, but Kevin Feige said that they're going to be approaching it from that level.
Right, but she's not Mary Jane.
No, but she's the Mary Jane in this
series.
Well, then you got to accept it that way, then.
But I will say, what's the other girl that was his love interest
Liz.
In the movie?
Yeah.
Liz. She was adorable.
They were. I mean, they're both beautiful girls.
Well, you can tell. Since there's going to be like a 5 or 6 movie arc with Spider-Man, that more of her and her dad are going to come back to haunt
Peter. And I was so happy to see
So at first,
this will be
at first,
Mini Vulture.
It feels really cheap.
You guys just kind of
spoiled
it.
Vulture.
No spoiling.
Or Chicken Hawk.
You feel so invested.
Chicken Hawk.
You feel so invested in the whole Peter and Liz thing. And then at the end of the movie, when the MJ reveal or whatever. And then you're like, oh, so that whole relationship was nothing. But then you start thinking about it, and you're like, oh, but that sets up all the other Sinister Six stuff that's going to happen to him later.
Right. The stuff that Kevin Feige's not aware of that Sony's doing. So that's part of the universe now.
Kevin, he's probably aware of it. He's just not going to be actually like creating it and cribbing it and doing notes and stuff.
Man. Gannon, what about you, sir? What do you think?
I liked it.
Did you? Is that it?
No.
Okay, good.
You know, Format said something when we were done watching the movie, and I hate to say it now because he hasn't had a chance to say what he said, but it's kind of what Wonder Woman was in its own way, because it got the essence of Spider-Man right, even though it kind of played around a little bit too much with the mythos, like where he gets his suit from. In the context of the movie, him getting the suit the way he does, as much as it's not what the fans would want, it makes sense in the context of the Marvel Universe.
It does.
Because one of the common criticisms about it is that this kid is just some kid from Queens, and he makes this suit that takes $2 million in real life to make it 6 other people to put you in.
Right.
So in reality, he wouldn't actually be able to make that suit as good as it is. So, in the context of the movie and in the story that's been told so far, it makes sense. The two things that really stood out are the scenes we've already been talking about, that big reveal, because it's directed extremely well.
Yeah.
You do not see it coming. And it's you hardly ever get surprised in movies anymore.
No.
And when the moment happens, you could feel like, I don't know if everybody's streaming.
There's like this weight that comes down on everybody.
You could feel it in the whole audience. Yeah. Like, there's just like, you just feel this whole like thud.
Yeah.
Like everything just goes dead.
It was good.
You could feel it in the room.
Yeah.
And I can't think of another movie that did that.
The entire audience like gasps.
Yeah, you could literally, you could audibly hear them guess like, oh my god. And I can't think of another movie where that's happened in a long time. The scene where he's finally got the weight of literally of the world on his shoulders, and this is Spider-Man, and he's crying for help.
Yeah.
And it's ballsy because you'd never have seen a superhero movie before. I can't think of a single example where the superhero is the one asking for help.
You know what I mean? Sure.
And it's the moment where, after everything that's been happening in the movie, where he's finally realized how over his head
he really is. Yeah.
And this movie really is, in a nutshell, is the story of a teenager.
Yeah.
It's the story of a superhero, but it's really the story of a teenager who thinks they're ready to be a grown-up, and they're not.
Yeah.
That's what the whole movie is really all about at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's kind of a cool way that it's kind of cool that they chose to tell the story the way they did. John Watts, I think he told a very subtle story. Because you got to think about it for a little bit. That's what he was aiming for.
Yeah.
There's a lot of funny stuff and all that kind of thing. But, and he makes a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
All the set pieces that happen in the movie are directly because of what he did.
Yeah.
Like everything the Vulture is actually doing would actually probably go smoothly and nobody would get hurt if Spider-Man didn't get involved.
Yeah.
The ferry accident, that was Spider-Man's fault, and stuff like that. But it's because he's inexperienced and he really doesn't... This is the first time he's ever had to fight anything that's bigger than he is. Mm-hmm. So he's making mistakes.
Yeah, he is.
And it's not the Man of Steel type of making mistakes where this man is flagrantly fighting somebody in the middle of the city and is not really paying too much attention to what's going on around him.
Right.
just a fairy.
Well, but the, yeah, but here's well, the thing. Well, yeah. That's cool about that is you're right, because but what he thinks he's doing is so noble, and what he doesn't understand is that even though
he's coming out from good intentions, he's good intentions. He's yeah. you know, for as smart as a kid as he is, and for as powerful as he is, he doesn't have it all figured out as well as he thinks he does.
Yeah,
you know, he's fighting somebody that has a gun that he doesn't quite understand, and the thing rips apart a fairy, and then his only plan is like. Maybe if I just whip everything up really quick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's exactly the kind of thing that a child would think to do.
Yeah.
You know? And I kind of dug the movie for having said, like, because the whole time watching, he's like, that's such a childish way. But then the kid's supposed to be 15. So, yeah. Of course, that's what his idea right. would be.
Right. And they did say they intentionally played him younger mm-hmm. than the comic.
He's actually older than he looks.
Yeah. So they played him younger than the comic. And I thought overall, like I said, big props to John Watts, the director. This guy, 3 years ago, was making horror movies on the cheap.
Well, you just know? One.
Well, one.
He'd make Clown and Cop Car.
Well, it would have been awesome if like...
I'd love to know how he got in the room for that movie.
I don't know. I want to know that, too.
Because nothing about what he's done before spoke that he could do a Spider-Man film.
Amy Pascal and Kevin Feige both liked Cop Car a lot.
Oh,
that's the other movie he did, Cop Car with Kevin Bacon.
So he probably pitched his version of Spider-Man.
Oh, you know what would have been awesome? No, he would have been like, okay, so I have this idea for Spider-Man. What if the spider suit actually became part of him? It's like the it's like in his clown movie.
I think that Spider-Man was pretty much well on its way after.
Yeah,
I mean he came. They'd already casted him.
Yeah,
you know, because of Civil War.
Yeah,
and I think that he had already gotten kind of like they had already done a bunch of you know special effects.
Yeah, too. Format. Did you go? Did you get a chance to say everything you needed to say? Did I already call? Did I call on you?
I've been
like we're in school?
Chiming in here and there. Right. But,
well, what'd you think?
As far as what I thought it was fantastic. It was bright, fun, action-packed, stunning visuals, lots of edge-of-your-seat moments. The villain, Keaton Kild.
Yep.
Such a solid performance. The minor villains seemed kind of thrown in, but they fit overall. Like, at the end of the movie, you knew why they were there.
Mm-hmm.
Story-wise, delivered well enough. You get the point by the time the credits roll. And Sony should just sit back and collect the residual.
that's exactly what they should do. Amazing. Yeah, that's exactly what they should do.
Favorite parts, because we can't talk about the car scene.
Yeah.
Everything with Karen. Jennifer Connelly's voice as the suit lady.
Yeah.
Magnificent.
I love the fact that they picked Jennifer Connelly, who happens to be the real life wife of Paul Bettany.
I bet you that's why they pulled it. That could have been anybody. Cool.
Because she was in The Hulk.
Yeah, I'm sure that's why. Her performance in The Hulk is
the first Marvel studio film.
I love
Second,
that.
Sorry.
I love that.
Let's
movie.
Not open up that can of worms again.
Let's not do that again.
Because Alika does not agree with that, even though it is.
Not at all. No, The Incredible Hulk.
By the way, after format, I'd like to change my review.
Oh, do you?
It's too dark. There's too much CG. too much over-reliance on pop songs. Okay, I'm done.
I thought that the CG at the beginning looked terrible.
Which one? The one with the Avengers headquarters and where he's moving and the whole that part?
When
you put that mic up to your face. I can't hear you.
After Spider-Man's put on the thing and he's going around and swinging everywhere.
Okay.
It didn't look like... It looked weird. He looked rubbery to me.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think any
of the Spider-Man shots look very realistic, to be honest. When he's swinging around.
Well, yeah. Did you notice that like at the beginning of the movie he was swinging normally,
mm-hmm.
and then after, I forget what the scene was, but something happens and he starts twisting and contorting while he's swinging afterwards.
Interesting. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. I didn't even pick up on
no
that
idea
though.
What you're
talking
about.
I don't. But, no, I do because he wasn't like he was having a hard time with the swimming mechanic.
I forget what it was, but something he saw something and then he started like you know doing weird flips and.
I will say this too, and this is like a logic thing for me. Every time, okay, those the web fluid that he uses is fairly strong.
It's not web fluid.
Stop it. The webbing
it's
that he
ropey
uses.
Ropey white okay, stuff.
Here's the thing. Shut up.
Sometimes it's webbing.
Here's the problem. I didn't think... Could anybody actually steal his backpack twice when he puts it up with
his
webbing?
Yeah,
it dissolves
in 2 hours.
Him.
He says that.
Again, he makes a lot of mistakes. He thinks he'll be back in time, and he's obviously not going to get back there.
That was the other thing that I liked was that scene between him and the Prowler. where he was just like, you don't do this ever, do you?
I recognize a woman's voice.
I had a funny feeling they were cribbing on Batman a little bit there.
They were.
With the mechanical, scary voice.
Interrogation mode.
Yeah, I got a feeling they were kind of cribbing on Batman a little bit.
It was funny. It was good.
But yeah, it was cute. Good.
It totally worked, and I really enjoyed it.
Or when his eyes are going haywire in front of those girls on the tent. I love that part. Yeah.
The Ferris Bueller moment.
Yeah, was great. That was great, too.
There's a moment where it's just like he's running through it, and I'm like, the second you see it, it's like, this is clearly Ferris Bueller. And then they showed Ferris Bueller, and normally in a movie, you'd just be like, you didn't need to do that. It's a little
uncomfortable. But it totally
worked. But they get away with it in this movie somehow.
And I tell you what.
He splashes girls in the pool.
One of the super cute things in the movie for me was obviously the one everybody clings to is when he saves everybody in the Washington Monument, and he breaks out his New York accent, which is freaking
cool. He's pulling the tough New York accent. Well, because his girlfriend's there. Oh, the girl. He wants to be his girlfriend.
And I thought that when he pulls that out, I just cracked up laughing. I thought that was hilarious.
It's even more funny because it's a scrawny little British kid.
Exactly.
It has a whole other layer to it.
I thought it was very well done. So starting from the end, the
we
table.
Went further down, though.
Yeah. We should.
But Alika didn't get to give his review.
Well, here's the thing. I was going to start with Alika. That's what I was going to say. We're going to the end. Alika, what was your take on the film?
Am I the last guy?
Wait, hang on.
Last
Sean, guy? What'd you think? Yeah. Shut up. Okay, Alika, go.
Did Sean even see it?
No, he didn't. No. That's why I told him shut up.
I don't know. I liked most of it. I think that it set up the Sinister Six a lot better than anything else so far.
Well, Amazing Spider-Man 2 did such a great job.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, with
Rhino. Hey, you know what? Norman Osborn had all that stuff built already.
Well, because everybody's talking about how, Sony just handed over the reins and they had no input. But you can see how much that they're, like, just banking on the Sinister Six and the things that Sony owns the movie distribution rights for. Hmm. That they're like, please make that work. And so instead of, like, the Andrew Garfield one, they didn't start cramming everything in until the second movie. They started with Homecoming this time. And you can, like, I guarantee, like, half of the Sinister Six gear, like, the art design, they're not even, like, redoing it. They're probably going to use what they were using before.
Right. Well, it is interesting that...
I think I like the idea of a Sinister Six that's more like street punks.
Yeah.
That found alien technology and just repurpose it.
That's
kind of
cool.
That's kind of a cool take on it.
And that's isn't why that in Amazing like Spider-Man happened? 2... In Amazing
but
Spider-Man
it's not
2...
from alien technology in the books, is it?
No,
no, no. I mean, in the movies, that's kind of what they're
but
alluding
this,
to.
That's
right?
Why this one is better than Homecoming
Vulture
is better
like,
because
I got all this alien tech.
Amazing Spider-Man 2. It was all from Oscorp,
right?
Yeah,
so
that's
it was,
what I was getting at.
And so it was crappy because it was Earthbound tech and the Sinister. You had the Rhino,
that
Paul Giamatti
everything.
In
so
the Rhino
like,
suit. Yeah, you had his disembodied head that'll someday become one of the Green Goblins, I guess, or something. It was a real crappy setup.
Well, it was interesting. The Easter eggs, we got the Prowler. We got the Easter egg that Miles Morales exists in this universe.
Well, no, there's no confirmation of that. People are just jumping to conclusions because...
That? Well, Miles Morales is...
In the Ultimates universe, the Prowler is Aaron Davis, and Aaron Davis is Miles Morales' uncle, and that's how he comes in contact with the radioactive spider.
He said he has a nephew in the
He says he has a nephew in the neighborhood. And Miles Morales, technically, Sony is doing a movie with Miles Morales as Spider-Man, but it's going to be an animated film. Apparently,
so it has
no. Wait, it's well.
Yeah,
exactly. Wait. Sony doesn't own the rights to the animated stuff.
Yeah, that's all Marvel.
Apparently, there has been word that they are partnering with Marvel to do an animated feature of Miles.
Yeah,
because
they admit they have no idea what the hell they're doing.
Right. So that's where it's at. And then of course we got the Scorpion.
The Scorpion at the end.
The Scorpion at the end. That was another big Easter egg. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I thought the Scorpion on the neck was.
Two on the nose.
Enough on the nose because I would not have known what was going on in that situation.
Yeah, I didn't recognize
Gargan.
The guy.
He flat out says his name is Gargan. If you don't know who Scorpion is, then that's on you, dude.
Yeah, but see, I don't know
him
by name.
Well, that's on you.
I don't know him by first. I'm not on first name basis of Scorpion.
Okay.
When the Scorpion on his neck, I was like, that's Scorpion, obviously.
So does...
I didn't realize that was the same dude from the beginning until...
Exactly.
After their conversation.
And the thing is, it's not...
Oh, yeah,
it's not like
the guy who quit.
Didn't try to cram a lot of stuff into this movie, and which is why I forgot some of it in order. Like, you don't really... I forgot you see that guy in the beginning, and who cares? You just kind of glance over it or whatever. But...
So is Tombs making his tech in the next movie, I'm guessing? I'm assuming.
I'm sure the Tinkerer is making all the tech at this point. Since the Vulture is in jail, you know?
No, but I mean, would he be working with him, considering the fact of what we know by the end of that film? Was the Vulture possibly be working with Scorpion? That's what I'm curious
about. I got doubts about that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't know if that's going to be.
Because he doesn't give up Peter Parker's identity.
Correct.
Which is probably because he, you know, kept the daughter alive.
Sure. Hey. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, you're right, and that's what I don't think. I don't know how he's going to get his Scorpion's going to get his tech. That's what I'm curious about.
He's going to start a salvage company, and
I want to see what the Scorpion
start cleaning up after the Avengers.
I am very curious of how that's going to work with Scorpion in another film. I'm just curious how the tail and everything is going to work, and I guess it'd be like Doc Ock, maybe. I guess
as long as Marvel's involved, they're not going to let Sony mess it up too bad.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, well, let's go around the table really quick because it's almost time to get out of here for this first show. Alika, since we ended with you, we'll start with you now. What is your star rating on this?
Four stars.
Out of five.
Todd Bernardi.
Two and a half stars. You already gave him.
All right, that's a noble one. Format, what about you, sir?
I'll go five.
Five-star film. Nice. Good job, sir. Gannon, what
now
about
I
you?
I feel like a snob.
I give it a four and a half.
Four and a half. Okay.
Oh, now I feel like a real snob.
Cynthia, you're Gannon also going to give it a four and a half? Cynthia's also giving it a four and a half. I will give it a solid four-star review. I thought it was a lot of fun. I can't wait to see it three and four times. It's definitely more – at this point, I think that movie is more rewatchable than even the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans. I thought it was fantastic.
The only Tobey Maguire one I can actually rewatch is number two.
Two.
Yeah.
Two is the best one. I agree. I will say
same with the Batman.
That horrible Green Goblin.
You know what? The third one. Before we get off topic, I will say this. Not a lot has been said about it. I think
the Godfather movie.
I think Marissa Tomei did a great job.
Oh, she was excellent.
Marissa Tomei did
a fantastic job.
That last scene, and all the scenes she was in.
Yeah, the last scene was great. Yeah.
And the last scene was fantastic, so it was very good.
I kept wanting her, you know, her robe to fall open a little bit more. You know, she's just.
Hey, that's the point. Can I give you a piece of advice if that's what you want?
Go watch The Wrestler.
Go watch The Wrestler. Yeah. Do that. But yeah, I thought Marissa Tomei did a great job. I thought Tom Holland, and I really thought the heat was fantastic. I cried a little bit when I did. I shed a couple of tears when Tony Stark gives back the suit to Peter. I thought that was very cool.
You cried.
In the bag. I thought that was very cute.
You baby.
I thought that was. I liked it. I thought I cried
you know
a little
what's
bit.
Actually not.
I thought it was cool that it was in a brown
paper bag,
instead of
right?
Like a suitcase.
Yeah, that was cool. So what
sorry,
was that?
Good. I forget what I was going to say now.
Oh, sorry.
No, but there is a reveal at the end involving Tony Stark that I'm surprised hasn't been spoiled all over the internet yet. I don't want to say it now because it is kind of a cool moment, but a character returns to the Marvel fold.
Yes, she or he does.
That's a spoiler. Yeah.
And it's
was that really big news?
Yeah, actually, kind of is.
It was a big deal that
she wasn't going to come back.
This human being,
because of money.
Yes, this
and they did
this vagina American. Yeah.
She also looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Who may or may not have a magazine called Coop.
Yeah.
Okay, you just gave it away.
Is it
if you know that magazine?
Yeah, everybody does. Because
no, not everybody.
Spoil it already.
Yeah.
Everybody
well,
knows.
It was kind of nice to see her again. Him or her. Or whomever.
I don't know why you're trying to hide it.
It was cool to see.
I heard she does weird stuff with eggs.
Oh, gross.
I didn't do it.
Yeah, she
did it.
She does that weird hand thing that you...
She does the shocker.
They teach you how to give the shocker to yourself.
She gives herself the shocker with an egg.
she marries Happy in the comic book.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they are married for a little while, and they get a divorce.
Wow. And I can totally see that happening in the series.
Wow.
Yeah.
Should.
And by the way, we get a lot of Jon Favreau, by the way.
They crap on Happy a lot in that show.
Yeah, Happy gets he gets a lot of crap.
I like to call him Crappy.
You know, there's that moment where he's listing off all the weapons that are going on the Quinjet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody feels like those are setups for something that's going to...
Yeah, anybody notice that?
I guess I'm not talking anymore.
No, does anybody notice that? No, I was going right off of that. Did you notice that?
They're just jokes, though.
Are they?
John Watts came out and said they're just jokes. It has nothing to do with the next movies.
When Happy is loading the plane...
Thor's belt.
He's like throwing out like Captain America's prototype shield and Thor's new magic belt.
See, that's what.
But those are jokes.
When you're
not
dealing
setups.
With Marvel properties, I'm sure by now they realize how careful they have to be when they just throw out like, let's name a magical artifact. Is like, no, these nerds will latch onto that.
Thor's magic belt was hilarious. I cracked up laughing. I thought that was
well.
Funny.
That's a nod to the Ultimate series.
Yeah, that was
because he supposedly has this harness that is what gives him his powers.
That was
but
so
apparently
funny.
They're
but
taking a lot from the Ultimates and cramming it into the cinematic universe.
Yeah,
which I didn't like a lot of the Ultimates, so it's kind of scary.
Well, they sold a lot. The Ultimate stuff
it sold very well.
Ultimates one and two are great.
This is something that I'm not. Is that the suit they reveal at the end for Spider-Man? That's nowhere near
that's
anything
not that,
in
no.
the comics.
That's
no.
not
nothing that's happened, but probably somewhat
that's
inspired by
Ultimate
the
Ultimate Spider-Man 2099.
I think what's coming next is the Iron Spider eventually.
Maybe.
That's what I thought they were going to open up. When you see the thing open up, I was, that's
and that's why that's like Sony coming through, because were it Marvel, they would have done a lot more fan service.
They would have.
And done alternate Spidey suit that had happened in the comics.
Yeah.
I hate when people invent their own alternate suits.
Are you sure? Because if I'm not mistaken, this is completely a Marvel production. Sony's just paying for it.
It's weird. I don't think
Sony actually had any influence.
I wouldn't
at all.
Think if you look at that last suit in the movie that they show, that doesn't seem like something that would come out of Marvel.
I'm pretty sure that's what he's going to be wearing in Infinity War.
That'd
Mark my words, we're going to see that.
I really hope not. If he's wearing that, then I lost faith in Marvel.
I wasn't really wearing that suit either.
If you're saying that's
just
Marvel,
just add a bunch of metallic parts.
It doesn't seem right.
It's shiny.
If it was Marvel, I would say they would put, because they know already, they've done in the animated series, is the Iron Spider.
Well, to be honest,
because that has a lot to do with
Tony
Stark.
They have a backdoor out of it anyway, because he rejects the suit anyhow.
So yeah, that's what I'm saying, is maybe they just did it as a throwaway suit.
Yeah,
and that I could understand.
It could be.
Nobody really liked the Iron Spider suit. It's
dumb. A very popular suit.
Yeah, no, it's dumb.
I'm sure you think it's dumb, but it's popular.
On the back, I was okay with it.
And the thing is, it's a temporary suit. Meant to not keep it.
Right.
Everybody, the people I talk to think that the tentacles on the back are dumb.
They were dumb. They were dumb.
And even
without the tentacles.
I watched the Kevin Smith review of it, and he was like, thank God they didn't use that suit.
I hope they do use it.
Well, you have a thing. You have a thing for superhero costumes.
Yeah, that's right. Well, comic accurate ones, of course, and especially like.
Man,
the
wait till you see Scorpion come strutting out in his green and silver suit.
Oh, I would love that.
He's got three tails.
That's pretty awesome. Well, listen,
like tails from Sonic.
There's only one more thing to talk about. Everybody should stay till the end of Spider-Man. No joke.
Till the end.
Very end. It is very.
There's a little thing at the end of the credits that tells you that Spidey's coming back.
And that's right. And
in an unnamed sequel.
And you're not going to want to miss it. So stick around to the end.
Just have patience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's fantastic. It's all you need. All you need. Well, listen, people, we've got to get out of here. That's it for our Spider-Man review. So overall, they did an amazing job of making this film. It is fantastic. You have to go see it. Nerdwatch gives it a huge, huge thumbs up. We had a good time with it, except Todd, because Todd's a jerk.
He gave it like a timid thumbs up.
It's an okay movie.
Well, the man who is also part of the show but hardly ever comes on, Professor Barry. I'm guessing he gave Wonder Woman 2.5 stars. I wonder what he's going to give Spider-Man. I'm curious.
One.
he loves Marvel movies, so I think he's going to give it 4 stars.
All right, we'll see.
I think it'll be a 3 or 4 star movie.
He enjoyed it, but it wasn't as good as Guardians.
Okay. He loves the Guardians one too. He loved it. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, please join us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdwatch. Download the podcast on iTunes and Audio Boom. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nerdwatch Nation. Follow us on Instagram at the_nerdwatch and on YouTube at Nerdwatch Nation. And you can donate to the podcast at patreon.com/thenerdwatch. Stay tuned if you're watching live on Facebook Live because we've got the second hour. Isaac's coming in. We're talking movie news. We're talking Twin Peaks.
Mr. Isaac.
Twin Peaks is back, baby. You're not going to want to miss it. So part two of this show is coming up very shortly. But for now, Cynthia, for Gannon, for Format, for Todd,
for
Alika, and for Silent Sean, I am G Money. Peace out. Much love. And most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until next week, we say to you guys,
Aloha. First, you get the shocker, and then you get the webbing.